Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you today. I am Deacon Deb, and I first met this congregation here at Faith in early 2016 when I was a seminary graduate awaiting call. Shortly after that, I was called by our synod to the Lamb Center, a drop-in which serves the poor and homeless just up Route 50 from here at Fairfax Circle. As a deacon, I am a minister of word and service. And the Lamb Center is an ecumenical Christian ministry where we share the word of God and we provide services very much as Jesus instructed in Matthew 25. We feed the hungry, clothe the naked, tend the sick, visit the imprisoned. We also supply hot showers, free laundry, case management, access to mental health care, AA meetings, and much more. I spend most of my time listening to, loving, and assisting people who live on the very outside margins of our society. The bulk of our guests at the Lamb Center suffer from untreated mental illness, and many of their other problems, including homelessness, unemployment, addiction, and human trafficking, all grow from that root. They are as ostracized from our society as the lepers were in the time of Jesus, which makes Nicodemus a really tough character for me to preach. He is a Pharisee, a leader, a teacher of Israel, and he is so afraid of the people on the margins that he comes to visit Jesus by night. What am I to make of him? Well, maybe he's tough for me because I'm so much like him, and I'd really rather not admit it. I didn't start out serving on the margins. I played it safe, and I stuck to the kind of church leadership that was very proper and polite, and it never got its hands dirty or its heart broken. I had the same need as Nicodemus to get closer to Jesus, to come into the divine presence, but I was afraid, and Nicodemus is afraid too. He has a lot to lose, and his society tells him that he already knows how to be in right relationship with God, but he can't resist coming to see Jesus, to be in the divine presence. Whatever he thought he knew about being in right relationship, he is still drawn to this Rabbi Jesus who says mysterious things and never gives a straight answer to a simple question. Now, in fact, if you noticed, Nicodemus doesn't actually start with a question. He starts with a statement about who he thinks he knows Jesus is. But I suspect he left with a lot of questions. He appears completely confused by his conversation with Jesus. And his last line in the story is, "How can these things be?" Which is not a bad question, really. The Spirit is incredibly hard to describe. You often don't know it when you see it. It's only apparent in hindsight, in the rear view. I can tell this from looking back on my own experience, and I bet you can too. We don't know a whole lot more than this about Nicodemus, except that after the crucifixion, he brought 100 pounds of spices and helped prepare Jesus' body for burial. We don't know what happened to him in that time in between this secret meeting with Jesus and the burial. But I think it's a safe guess that the Spirit was at work in him. Taking on such a personal act as preparing the body for burial is a pretty strong indication that he must have pushed past those fears that kept his first visit under the cover of darkness. That's a huge leap for an insider like Nicodemus. I do wonder how long it took Nicodemus to make sense of this conversation with Jesus. I can honestly say that my first few attempts to come up with something to say this morning that would be intelligent and helpful about the Holy Trinity, based on what Jesus says here about God, the Holy Spirit, and himself, were a tangled mess. Because Jesus isn't teaching a doctrine of the Holy Trinity to Nicodemus. He's inviting Nicodemus into a relationship. Because if there is one thing that we can understand about the Trinity, one thing I can say that's clear and helpful about the Trinity, it's that God is all about relationship, even within God's own self. For me, this is how I ended up moving so far out to the margins from that nice, safe inside lane where I started out. All of my relationships reacted to my relationship with God, especially my relationships with people that previously I did not see any connection to. Drawn closer to God by the activity of the Spirit, I started to see Jesus in other people, and I wanted to show Jesus back to them. And once that started happening, it was like a dance. The closer I got, the more the Spirit did, the more I saw and shared Jesus, and it just sped up. The dance went round and round. And this is how I understand the kingdom of God. In this life, in this world, God has already enfolded me in the relationship with God and with what God is doing in the world. Now, it hasn't all been as idyllic as that sounds. I've been known to complain that the Holy Spirit will use a 2x4 to get my attention if I'm being particularly dense. And sometimes it really hurt. I was often bewildered by the people I met, the things I experienced, and even the choices I made. My family had to adapt to the demands of my unusual call. And you may have similar feelings if you look back at where you can see the Spirit was moving in your life. Our advocate and our comforter can make us pretty uncomfortable sometimes. And it's funny that this confusing conversation about the sometimes uncomfortable Spirit leads straight into one of the best known and most often repeated verses in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And the next verse, which doesn't show up at football games, may be even more comforting. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus goes from being mysterious to being incredibly direct. Love and relationship lead to life and salvation. Not just for one person or for special people in a club only, but for the world. Love and relationship lead to life and salvation for all the world. And that is an astounding promise. What do we do with it? We in the church have some of the same problems as Nicodemus. We are safely insiders, leaders, and teachers. We know ourselves to be in right relationship with God. And yet, we are yearning to be in the divine presence. We are yearning to meet Jesus. We are yearning for the kingdom of God. We are even yearning for the Spirit to blow through our lives like the wind. And yet we are afraid of where that yearning will lead us. We are afraid to leave our safe space and go out to meet Jesus in broad daylight for all the world to see. We are afraid to go meet the folks living out on the margins, the very people and places where we know we can find him. But also like Nicodemus, we have the promises of Jesus, that born from above, born of the Spirit, we can see the kingdom of God. We know this astounding promise that love and relationship lead to life and salvation, that is for us. And it is for us to carry out from our safe spaces, to share it with the world, because it is not just for us, it is for all the world. And relationship with God is relationship with the world, because what God loves, we are called to love. This is beautiful and joyful, but it's not easy. It's a pretty normal work week at the Lamb Center if I cried more days than I did not. I see God at work all the time, but I also see the pain, brokenness, and vulnerability of being human. Just in the last week, I encountered a veteran who won't accept the benefits that he earned from the VA because he's paranoid. A mentally ill young woman who is almost certainly going to lose her parental rights to her newborn baby boy. An alcoholic who passed out on our front sidewalk in the hot sun. A perfectly sane and sober woman who overextended herself and was evicted, even though she holds a good job. And 100 others like them, each with their own story. Our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, are drawn to the Lamb Center because we do have many good things to offer, but also because we share good news. The very same good news that is shared here, that is for you and for me and for all of us. You are loved. Loved so much that God gave his only son for you. Loved so much that God did not send his son to condemn you, but to save you. Loved so much that we, who you never met before, we love you too. We build relationships because our God is a God of relationships and a God of life and salvation, meant for you and for all the world, so that there are no insiders, there are no people on the margins, just citizens of the kingdom of God. That is the promise that was told to Nicodemus by Christ himself, a promise to him and to us, that it is in the very nature of the Trinity to birth us in spirit into life and salvation. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.